Because we have to have a separate B'china on Bishul for fourth year purposes. Okay. There has to be a separate B'china on Bishul.
What, the special one on Bishul?
Yeah.
When we finish Bishul. What? I don't commit myself to things that aren't going to end up being true. Okay. Now, let's see what we're up to. 1 second. There we go. Okay. We were okay. We're almost finished the Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Chaf. There's one last thing that I wanted to mention. Sif Yud Ches. There's got to be a way to turn that off.
I don't think you can turn it off until the computer starts your computer up, though.
No, there's got to be something you can put in your something. Your or something like that. Anyway, whatever.
Headphones.
Okay. Before we get to all these other issues that we want to discuss, just to finish up the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah has a very nice discussion from the Taz at the end of If Yiches, this would be Sifkat Nun Hei in the Mishnah Berurah, about what to do if liquid spills on your tablecloth. At the end, what to do if liquid spills on your tablecloth. And you want to clean it off. Obviously not clean it off by like washing it, but just at least to get off the end liquid. So he says you can't, you can't take a knife or a spoon and press against the tablecloth, because that would be schita of the tablecloth. Rather, you have to just scoop off the liquid that's soft milamala, that's not absorbed in the tablecloth, that you can scoop off with a spoon or with a knife, but you can't actually press down to get out the liquid and then scoop it off, because that would be, because that would be schita. The Taz sort of has a discussion here that what if you scoop it out with a spoon and then throw it in the garbage? Would that be a chash to oraisa of schita? Would that be a real chash of schita? The Taz almost makes it sound like even if I scoop it out with a spoon, like I press the spoon down on the tablecloth, and that is sochet, all the wine or beer or out, and then I take it in the spoon and I carry it to the garbage and put it in. The Taz makes it sound like that could even be a chash of real schita, because that's considered I'm gathering the wine. Mostly I could have argued with him, if we've got him and others, and say no. As long as I'm intending to go throw it in the garbage, that's still considered holy for the Ibor, and it's at worst the Schita de Rabbanan. But that's an interesting thing. This comes up in some of these other issues, the issues, milking your cows. What if you milk your cow into a bucket and then pour the bucket in the garbage? Or what if a woman expresses milk into a pump and then throws it in the garbage? Is that called holy for the Ibor? Or is that a real chash of, even do rice a chash of Schita? So the Taz here seems to imply that it's a real chash of Schita. It's not called holy for the Ibor, because I want to gather it now. Even if then, I'm just going to take it and throw it in the garbage. But most Achronim say, no, the Taz is wrong about that. As long as my ultimate goal is just to throw it in the garbage, that's considered Holech L'Ibud, and that's not a Chashash to Oraisa, although it would still be Asad Rabban, so either way, you shouldn't do it. Some of the other details he brings up here are if a non-water spills on your tablecloth, you shouldn't scrape it in a way that it'll go to more places in the tablecloth, because even though we'll see that because it's soveya, even though we'll see that soveya derech lichlach we're making one, but still it's better to avoid, so it's better not to, even if you're just taking off the wine that's not absorbing your tablecloth, to spread it to new locations. And that's one last point which we'll come back to in a minute, Miss Mishnah Berurah. We'll come back in a minute. He talks about Schita and Seir. Let's talk about that now. The Mishnah Berurah here at the very end of Sifkat Nunhei says, Hasochet Seir or Pater Aval Usser. I think this may even have been, the next thing I'm going to cover. Yeah. So, leather and hair are Pater Aval Usser to do Schita. Now, this is a machlokas in Daf Kufka Chesem Beis, whether it's a problem of Schita. The Beis Yosef says, we paskin, it seems to be the Chlok Samaran there, but either way, we paskin like the Man Omer, I think it's Rabbi and Rav Yosef, that ain't Schita Beseir. That's what one day it says in the Gemara of Kufka Chesem Beis, and we paskin that way. That's how we say, like if a woman, a laboring woman, needs oil, her friend shouldn't carry her oil through Rishas Rabim and do the Oraisa. Rather, her friend should put oil in her hair and carry it through Rishas Rabim and squeeze it out for her, because that's only Hotsakal Achiyad Rabbanan, and even though she's doing Schita, that's Ein Schita B'Seir, so it's okay. What does it mean, Ein Schita B'Seir? So we're on the Vadi someplace, the someplace being in Yabia Omer Chilak Dalid, or Achayim Simed Lamed. So your, which is the one that's just on the Makoros here under brushes, brings that there are some Rishonim who sound like Ein Schita B'Seir means it's mutter to squeeze out hair. But the Rambam doesn't seem to say that way. The Magen Mishnah is like the Rambam that Ein Schita B'Seir just means Ein Schita Mida Oraisa B'Seir, which makes sense in the context of the Gemara. What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara means it's better to carry the oil. Again, nowadays it seems a little unhygienic to us, but not a big deal for them. It's better to carry the oil in your hair than to carry it in a jar, because Ein Schita B'Seir, there's no Shash with the Oraisa. It's only a Drabbanan. Right? So, we pass it like the Rambam, that Schita B'Seir is, and leather the same thing, is only an Issur Drabbanan. Why? Rashi comments on the Gemara that Schita B'Seir is only Drabbanan, because Seir is not really absorbent. But some materials are really absorbent, like, for example, the oil in the olives and the wine in the grapes is really absorbed, or like cloth, and all these other sugars, that's really absorbent. It actually goes into the fiber somehow. I don't know exactly, you know, how to, what the proper way to express it is, but it really absorbs. Hair, we know, doesn't really absorb. Nothing goes into the hair. Liquids can't get into your hair because your hair is not absorbent. It's not porous enough. But rather, it just gets trapped between the pieces of hair. And so it's like, it's similar to being absorbed into the hair. Likewise, apparently, leather, I'm not a bucking how leather works, but leather, I guess, is not very absorbent. So it's similar to hair. But hair is a very good example. It's not really absorbent, but it's semi-absorbent, and therefore it's not a Doraisa of Schita, but it is an Isser Dirabban of Schita. That's how we pass with an Isser Dirabban of Schita B'Seir. That's why the Mishnah Berurah tells us here that Hatovel B'Shabbos, if you go to Mikvah on Shabbos, Yizar Shalo Yisrod Saro L'Nagvam, you shouldn't squeeze out your hair as a way of drying out. Apparently that's what people with long hair do. They actually take their hair, and they, you know, if I would have a long beard down to here, I would take it and I would squeeze it and let the water go down on the floor after I took a bath, after I went to the mikvah, because that's, otherwise there'll just be too much water in my hair. If a woman has long hair, she would do the same thing. So the Mishnah Berurah says, you can't do that. We don't usually do it like with short hair. You don't need to squeeze it out. But if you had long hair, you might do that. The Mishnah Berurah says, you're not allowed to do that, because Schita B'Seir is an Issur Drabbanan. The Mishnah Berurah says this in a few places. In a few places he mentions that you're not allowed to squeeze your hair. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons which is brought down by the Poskim in Simon Shin Chavav, we have a minhag not to bathe on Shabbos. Why don't we bathe on Shabbos? So for people who go to mikvah, the Hasidim will go to mikvah Shabbos morning. Okay, so that's for a mitzvah. But stam, we don't bathe on Shabbos. For no reason, we don't bathe on Shabbos. So that minhag came up. It's a 500-year-old minhag for a few reasons. One of the reasons is, perhaps the first reason that a lot of the Echonim mention is, michshash schita. If you bathe, you might come to do schita in your hair. So they're afraid of schita b'seir. So the schita b'seir is taken as a very, very serious halachic problem that you're not allowed to squeeze out your hair. Now, if you asked me, Rosh Shlomo Zalman, I saw, said this, it seems very strange to me, this whole issur. If you had asked me without 800 years, 900 years of people saying it's a problem to squeeze your hair, I would have said it's no problem whatsoever to squeeze your hair out after bathing on Shabbos. Obviously I'm wrong, because we take this, not only do all the posts say you're not allowed to squeeze your hair out, but we even have a minute not to take a bath in the first place, lest you maybe squeeze your hair out. So it's taken as a very serious halachic issue. It's very hard to understand why it's so bad to squeeze your hair out on Shabbos. So if we just go back to the model that we had on the board last time, there are two possible avos melacha that skita falls under. One is malabing, and one is mefarik tolad of dash. So malabing, it can't be an iser of malabing to squeeze out your hair. Because, what?
The Rambam puts it in malabing.
The Rambam puts it in malabing. The Rambam puts it in malabing. I have to think about that. Okay, but, right, but lahalacha, it cannot be nisr malabing to squeeze out your hair for a very simple reason. It's mutter to wash your hair. So obviously there's no nisr malabing in your hair. If I had a beged which was made out of, you know, hair of some living animal, it would be also to wash. I wouldn't be like laundry out of hair clothing on Shabbos. Okay, but my own body, just like you're not allowed to wash leather clothing on Shabbos, right? It's an issur d'oraisa to wash a leather jacket on Shabbos, but I'm allowed to wash my own skin on Shabbos, even if I scrub it very hard, because the leather that's part of a living person is not the same as a leather jacket, and the hair of a living person is not the same as stam hairs. So even if there might be an issur of libun to wash hair and leather, there's no issur of libun to wash your own body. People are not a cheftz of an iser of libun. We all know I'm allowed to wash my hair. It's a never pashtun, I'm allowed to wash my hair. So obviously there's no iser of libun in here. So what could be the problem of being schita in my hair? It can't be libun because there's no libun on the human body. Rav Moshe says this in his tshuva. There's also a Bir Halacha, someplace much earlier who mentions it, but I forget the exact place. It's a never pashtun that there's no libun in the human body. You're allowed to wash your body. So, if it's not libun, then what could the only thing that could be the problem of stita in your hair? It must be that it's a problem of lefarik, of dush. But of course, this makes it tricky, because you would think Rabbeinu Tam would for sure tell us it's not dush to squeeze water out of your hair, because...
Legufan.
Because you don't want the water. It's legufan. Fashim shlokosh shesachdom legufan. Right? This is not... I mean, the art doesn't come into play here. It's not dealing with segregation. You're squeezing your hair on purpose. But you're squeezing your hair legufan. You don't want the water to come out. I don't know, maybe once upon a time, I don't even think once upon a time they would squeeze the water out of their beard after taking a bath and reuse it. But we certainly would just squeeze it down the drain. No one wants this water. It's purely the gufan. You just want to improve your hair by making it drier. It's exactly like Fashim Shlokos. So the gufan should be mutter. And even though we saw the Samachlokas, we showed him about this. Some Rishonim say Lagufan is mutter, Rabbein Tam, and Rashba and the Rivash, quoted by the Magen Avraham. But other Rishonim, like the Ri and the Ran, say it's Usser. If you would have asked me, again, this only if you would have asked me, I would have said, even if you're going to hold that squeezing out cloths, Lagufan, is Usser, that's only in things which are Chash of Doraisa, which are Shaif to real Schita. Where was the Ron say? Derech lischot. You're not allowed to squeeze out a towel with wine for the towel. Well, because someone might squeeze it out for the wine. Okay, but no one squeezes anything out for water. And not only that, if you did squeeze the water out of your hair, it wouldn't be an issur d'oraisa anyway, because ain't schita b'seyar. So it's very strange that, you know, just like the recess, fashim shlokos, it's okay to do it legufan because it's really ochle de'ifras for us. But maybe here also it should be okay to do it legufan because it's not even really a maisa schita. Not even really skita. So I would have thought, given that this is legufan like fashim shlokos, and it has no chashav ever coming to doraisa anyway, because hair in skita b'seyar, and it's not like a normal thing that people might come to squeeze for water, hair for water, or anything for water to get the water, because no one really squeezes things to get water, perhaps. I would have thought that it should just be within the hat of fashim shlokos legufan. It's totally mutter, and there should be no problem at all of skita b'seyar, or at the very least, if we want to be choshesh, we shouldn't worry about it too much. However, that's what I would have thought, but that's not what the boskim say. Shlomo Zalman Orbach asked this question in the footnote, in the Shmir Shabbos Klasa Perk Yudalid footnote, Samach Dalid. He asked this question, and he sort of like uses this, a sniff lahakel, but he doesn't use this to like say it's always mutter to squeeze your hair, but it's not... It's not really so clear exactly why everyone's so worried about Schita B'Seyar. I mean, you have to say that they think, obviously, like the Rishonim, which we already know we hold like, who hold it's even, there's an Isser, Drabbanan of Mefarik, of Dosh, even if you don't want the liquid. And that even though that Issa Derabanan doesn't apply to Kvashim Shlakos, it does apply to hair, because hair is like worse than Kvashim Shlakos. Somehow hair is more machmir than Kvashim Shlakos. Maybe water is more of a regular liquid, or maybe a lot of people do squeeze things with water, so it could be confused. And you have to somehow, I'm not sure exactly how, but you have to somehow be nidchat to say they were more worried in squeezing your hair legufan than Kvashim Shlakos legufan, even though they're both Derabanans, and even though they're both not things that would commonly lead to someone squeezing the mayhem. Okay, you have to say somewhere there goes around water, because that's a classic mashka, perhaps. Tzarechim. In general, it seems to be the poskim, you know, even though we have kvashim shlokos, sachtam, legufan, mutter, and many rishonim extend that, in general, the poskim seem to have almost ignored that and said, you know, we hold legufan as usher. And even though kvashim shlokos, even though the rishonim, we generally assume that there's a broad isser of legufan and a very narrow heter of legufan. So even slita b'seyar doesn't fit into the heter of legufan. And I'm not sure why. Maybe there's a great answer out there someplace. But if you find it, please tell me.
The poskim were machmir. Did they bring up the ask the question of kvashim
shlokos? No, most people don't bring it up. Most people don't bring up kvashim shlokos.
Isn't that telling, though?
It is telling, but what's it telling?
That they may not have just... They didn't put two and two together.
So if it was one person once, I would say, okay, so he missed it. No, I've done better than him. You'd think all the postmen were hundreds of years, they would have found that. I mean, it's not such a hard Gemara to find.
Many times
it's just that. I think that's a little dachuk. I mean, given the quantity of postmen here, I think it's a little dachuk to say they just missed the hit. All right, who knows? Anyway, Lim Maisa, so. Given that, however, and I think this is where Shlomo Zalman's coming from in that footnote, given that Lamaisa, we're really, really not sure why you should be also just squeeze your hair out in the first place. Especially keep in mind, the Gemara says ain't skita b'seir. We're not even sure that it's asa d'rabbanan in the first place. That's just what the Rambam told us. And even if it is asa d'rabbanan, why should it be asa legufan? So given that this is a very tenuous iser, question is, maybe we can be mekel if you use a towel. And that's what Shlomo Zalman says with the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa Paskins. Whereas there, I found a big, big discussion of using a towel to squeeze the water out of your hair in the Ktzos HaShulchan, the very end of Chelek Vav, which is Siman Kuf Lamed Gimel, footnote Ches, quotes a lot of Achronim who are matter, say the same thing as Rishon Mazalman, not necessarily for his reasons, but say the same thing as Rishon Mazalman, that it's mutter to dry your hair with a towel, Rishon Mazalman says, because for sure the water is just going to the Ibud, and not only is it going to the Ibud, you don't actually create water. And the water comes out of your hair and goes into the towel. It doesn't actually become, you don't actually get water out of your hair. So in that case, with that additional factor, Lahakel, Rav Shlomo Zalman is Matir. The Ktos HaShulchan quotes also the Eshel Avraham, not the Pribagadim Eshel Avraham, the other Eshel Avraham in the back of the Gemara that always confuses people. The Eshel Avraham from Butchash. The Eshel Avraham was Matir. He quotes the Minchas Shabbos was Matir. He quotes the Ben Ish Chai was Matir, although the Ben Ish Chai said, it's better to just put the towel lightly and let it gradually absorb than not rub vigorously with the towel. So he's like half matter. But Lamaisa, I think you can, there's definitely room to rely on the Shmir Shabbos of Chassan and all these other Achronim, given that we're not, it's a very, such a hard to understand issue in the first place. Yeah, you don't have to take it too far. And the Shmir Shabbos of Chassan or Shlomo Zalman is a good point. If you're drying it with the towels, so it's not even skita. You know, I would have compared it. He doesn't. I would compare it to Sochananim Eshkol Latoch Hakadera. Right? It's like going from in fibers into in fibers. It's not even becoming a liquid. So I think that for sure there's room to be made.
Might we have to be concerned with the fact that you might come to like pluck out hairs as you like?
If you dry your hair with the towel?
Yeah.
In general with these plucking out hair things, there's some tzias. I mean, you can look on the towel during the week and you see if hairs come out or not. If you look at the towel during the week and no hairs come out, then you're obviously not plucking out hairs.
See hairs during the week, like action, unfortunately.
Then that would be a different reason not to rub vigorously, for sure. That's a much bigger problem.
Not lightly? Would you like, say, like, lightly?
You have to do experiments during the week. If it's a double shame, it's common, it's much, as long as it's not a psychoration. So you have to do experiments during the week.
Given this kula, would it still be also to bathe on Shabbos? If you look at the rest of the day, is because you might have to squeeze your hair.
Well, so first of all, it's the derech of let's say, women with long hair, that the towel's not really enough to dry out the long hair. They need to squeeze it first.
So that's for women. Let's say a man.
So maybe all men should have long beards and have the same problem. But even without that, Minhag is the Minhag, and there are other reasons also, and so it's hard to reverse these Minhagim. Especially since, well, we'll get to another point in a second. So I hear the Taina, but, you know, I think it's worth discussing, but Lamaisa, I don't think it's going to get us anywhere. Now, there's one other issue here, which is the Mishnah Berurah says in a few places, they were on the Makoros sheet, that washing the parts of your body with hair is okay. Just squeezing them isn't. Right, he says, Mefurish, you can wash pun of Yad Varaglov, the Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch says in hot water, he says, that's even, if you have a beard on your face, you can still wash. Washing doesn't seem to be a problem. Even though squeezing, yes, you can bring a proof in that. The Gemara points out, I think, Daf Nun, that they have a whole discussion that it's usher to wash your face, talking about a man with a beard, on Shabbos, with a type of soap that pulls out the hair, with a depilatory soap. So hamashma, that if you don't use a depilatory soap, it's mutter to wash that self-same hair. So it seems pretty pasha from the Gemara that there's no issue of washing your hair on Shabbos. And that's what Mishabur says. He says it in these two places, right? So Mishin Chafav, Sivkat and Chafhei, and it's Sivkat and Chafkes. He says, Mefurish, that you're allowed to wash your hair on... that you're allowed to wash your hair on Shabbos. And he says that, as long as you don't use the depilatory soap. Now, why are you allowed to wash your hair on Shabbos? Why aren't we worried that when you wash your hair, you squeeze it? So this is a little unclear. Why are you allowed to wash your hair on Shabbos if you're not allowed to squeeze your hair on Shabbos? So I've seen in the different approach in the poskim, in the Shmir Shabbos L'Chassad, Perek Yudalad, in the first footnote, he brings up Shlomo Zalman, who first was worried about that. If we're going to be machmir, you can't squeeze water out of your hair. How can you wash your hair? When you wash it, you squeeze water out. And Rav Shlomo Zalman wanted to say that b'mtzius, you don't squeeze water out of your hair when you wash it. That even though you press on your hair when you wash it, you're pressing inwards, and you just squeeze the water down in between your hair and the skin, so it's still trapped in your hair. So he thinks b'mtzius, you don't squeeze the way you wash. Again, I have no idea actually how to check this. But the way people wash their hair is they push inwards. They don't push outwards. They don't actually squeeze water out of their hair. They squeeze water into their hair. So he thinks Bensius, no one washes, squeezes water out of their hair. Okay, could be. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in this tshuva which is here, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Gimel, assumes that you do squeeze water out of your hair when you wash. The Ketos HaShulchan assumes the same thing. This is in Siman Kuf Lamed Gimel, the same footnote Chet. Say you do squeeze water out of your hair when you wash, so why is it mutter to wash your hair? So they say maybe it's mutter because of psik resha de lo nichole. Meaning, unlike if I squeeze my hair after the shower, that is intentionally squeezing. When I wash my hair, I'm not intentionally squeezing, I'm unintentionally squeezing. Just bederach psik resha. So therefore, once it's an unintentional squeezing, then, according to our motion, the Ketos HaShulchan, that the reason why you're allowed to wash your hair is because it's unintentional squeezing. Once it's unintentional squeezing, then we have the heter psik resha de lo nichole, which is mutter according to the aruch.
But not us.
But then Rav Moshe adds, after all, psik resha de lo nichole b'drabanan, right? We might be making a lot, and slita b'seir is only drabanan. So we were a little philosophic about that. The Mishnah Berurah is unclear. But he says, and here you also have a tzeirif that it's holichli ibud. That you don't really want the water, and so it's a situation of nichle b'drabana, and you know. So what does Moshe say in the end? He says, look, there's grounds we make. Oh, you know what he says? He says, in the end, he paskins, if you want to wash, maybe it's really, you could wash your face, you know, or whatever other part of your body has hair, but to actually, like, go like this and get your hair really clean, you should only do if you need to. He's like, not totally sure about this. So that's the pshara he makes. He says, stop to wash your face. Don't worry about it. Like, you don't have to be nizer from getting your hair wet. But to actually vigorously wash your beard, like to actually, you know, do a normal shampooing or wash of your beard or your hair, you should only do if you need to. That's his pshara. Because after all, this is not such a pashat kula. So that's his pshara. It's a chumrah. Because pashas, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Poskim sound like it's mutter to wash your hair. And they don't say, well, you should only really wash your hair well if you really need to. It's a chumrah, this Rav Moshe Feinstein. You know, I think that the minhag of most people anyway on Shabbos seems to be like that. That we don't, like, wash our hair or our beards, like, well on Shabbos, unless they're dirty. But otherwise, we don't. So it seems to me the minhag might be like Moshe Feinstein, even though he's being, you know, more machmir. That would include shampoo, meaning, but Lamaisa, most people, the minhag seems to be that we don't shampoo our hair and our beard on Shabbos unless they're dirty and we need to for some reason, I think. I mean, according to another Rosh, we don't shower on Shabbos in the first place, so it would only be a question of shampooing your beard at the sink, which is not a very common thing to do. So that's where Moshe Feinstein comes out in the end. However, the Shlomo Zalman Orbach and the Ktos HaShulchan assume, no, it's not, it's mutter to wash your hair without necessarily... without necessarily making chibukim.
I don't understand why there should be a difference between washing your face and your hair and just washing your whole body. The whole reason you can't take the minhag not to wash your whole body is because of...
you'll come to schita.
Here you're actually washing your hair and we're not afraid that you're going to come to squeeze.
Yeah, but so what the postman says, no, the reason you can't bathe on Shabbos the minhag is because you might intentionally, purposely squeeze the water out of your hair afterwards to dry off. Which is davar hamiskavim, but over here we're not talking davar hamiskavim. We're talking about psikreisha lo nichle. That's not what the minhag was for.
Afterwards, after you wash, you might say the same thing. After you wash your hair, you might come to intentionally squeeze the water out.
Ah, okay. Because the minhag was really made for at least three different reasons of not bathing, and so the assumption is the minhag was made for number one. There's a chash of shchita. It doesn't seem like that alone was based on the minhag. They also mentioned some other problems. There's a chash of hutsa'ah, because when you go down to the river, if you have a lot of water on your body and you walk up from the river, you're carrying the water. And there's also a chash of hoshata. You're not allowed to make a raft or cause anything to float. And when people bathe in the river, they would cause things to float when they bathed. I'm not sure exactly what the mitzvah was. So that's why it's a whole shiloh. Some people want to say maybe even in bathtubs this minhag didn't apply. But certainly, since the minhag was based on a very complex combination of factors, we certainly wouldn't extend the minhag past what they were already knowing for two reasons. Because all the reasons don't apply. Number two, because the minhag and hechad nagu nagu sometimes. So we don't have to extend the minhag.
That minhag doesn't apply in Yontif, though?
That minhag seems to apply in Yontif. Even because on Yontif, there's still an Isser Shechita, and there's still an Isser of Lashon al Pnei HaMayim. There's no Isser of Hotzah on Yontif. But I think we generally assume this minhag applies on Yontif too. I think we generally assume you shouldn't bathe on Yontif either. I think that's the minhag.
Shower
is a different story, and we'll have to get to this, but this minhag was about bathing. When it comes to showering, Rav Moshe points out that by showering, for sure, most of these reasons don't apply. You know, you don't shower in the river. And showering is different than bathing, and the Shtibur actually seems to be master showering. So that by showering, Rosh Hashanah says he's not sure. Or Rosh Hashanah says an interesting tshuva, which we'll come back to. It's not its place, but by showering is different than bathing. He says, look, I'm going to say the minhag's not to bathe, but there's no minhag against showering. But all from people seem to think that you can't shower on Shabbos. So is it that they're just ignorant, or that no, once the people invented showers in your house, they invent also started a new minhag not to shower on Shabbos. So he said, I'm not sure. It could be we're knowing. And it's definitely true that everyone thinks it's also to shower on Shabbos. Meaning, even people who do shower on Shabbos, right? I know a lot of people in the modern Orthodox world who would shower on Shabbos, but would think it's usher. They just think they're not so from. So everyone thinks it's usher to shower on Shabbos. So Moshe says, if everyone thinks so, did that automatically make it usher al minhag? Or is there such thing as everyone being mistaken? So he's missed something about that interesting philosophical point about if everyone thinks it's usher, does that make it a minhag? Or does that make it a mistake? And therefore, he says you shouldn't shower on Shabbos unless you need to. Okay, but that's a mistake. Anyway, Mamaisa, the minhag olam seems to be like promotion that we don't shower on Shabbos and Yontif unless we need to. I think the only reason it's more common to see people showering on Yontif than Shabbos, B'nai Torah, is because on Shabbos is only 24 hours, so you're unlikely to need to shower unless you fall in the mud. But on Yontif, which could be 48 or 72 hours, then it's more likely that you might need to shower. So I think that's, and also has to do with heating the water, etc. I think the main reason why, like, showering is an issue before Yontif is because on Shabbos, Taka, you're violating the Divrei Nevi'im if you don't shower Friday afternoon for Shabbos, right? That's for sure. To not shower before Shabbos, for sure, usher, right? Kavod Shabbos. So if you showered right before Shabbos, why do you need to shower again within 24 hours? So that's just why it doesn't come up. But Lu Yitzir it did, if it was very hot, then Enoch Nami.
How I'm squeezing the hair is a situation only because when you wash your hair, isn't the way you wash it is the water comes in.
Aha, so that seems to be an achlokas. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, one of the reasons he gave his hesper in that first footnote in Perek Yudalos, he thinks it's actually nichale when you wash your hair because you want the water to go from place to place and clean.
And then leave and take the dirt with it.
Okay.
You want the water to come out and take the dirt. Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying something different. You want the water to go out and take the dirt with it. So even if you'll say it's holifle ibad, but it's still nichale, because you want the water to go out and take the dirt with it. Is that? I don't know. This is an interesting svara. I'm not sure. No one brings up that svara, but it sounds logical. I'm not sure. Isn't that? I guess that's true, right? The water takes the dirt with it. Is that how it works?
That's probably. Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought at the end that Rav Moshe was saying that that's not a problem because lo nichale is ani le'ibud. He's saying that it's only a problem of it's only a problem when it's lo nichale when
you want the water.
Okay, I don't have the lesson here, so I'm not sure. Okay, you'll have to deny in there. Let's discuss one other topic. Let's move on to another topic, which is the interesting discussion of brushes. What's the status of a brush? And this is what comes up often with the bottle brushes, right? There's the big bottle brush shayla, right? The special Shabbos sponges with the brushes instead of the sponge. So there's a lot of discussion as to whether brushes absorb at all. Many achronim seem to assume that brushes are the same status as hair. Now, many achronim actually had brushes made of hair. Which makes sense for them to, not human hair, but animal hair. That's what they originally made hairbrushes and toothbrushes out of animal hair. But even those who I think are dealing with modern toothbrushes assume that there's schita in toothbrushes, even though I wouldn't say that these toothbrushes actually absorb the way a cloth absorbs. There's still schita drabanan in toothbrushes or bottle brushes, etc. Rav Moshe seems to be choshesh in his tshuva about brushing teeth. He says there's a chash, better to worry about a chash shchita. Doesn't go into detail, but he seems to worry about a chash shchita. The Ketos HaShulchan, in Siman Kuf Lamed Gimel, Ha'or Tes Zayin, Footnote Tes Zayin, also says a chash shchita, although his brushes, he says, explicitly were made of hair. Rav Avadya also, in his tshuva about toothbrushing, assumes that brushes absorb, like hair. He just wants to find a kula anyway. But he assumes that it's the same status of Seir. So many poskim assume that brushes that we have nowadays have the same status of Seir, that they're not really absorbent, but they're somewhat absorbent, or at least similar to being absorbent. And therefore, it should be an Eser Drabanan to do Schita in them. The Yashmir Shabbos Lochasa says, when it comes to bottle brushes, he says it's better not to, as Lashon is, I think it's Tov, not to use just any stam brush to wash your dishes on Shabbos. However, what he does say, based on Rav Shlomo Zalman, he quotes in the footnote, is that there's brushes and there's brushes. There's some types of brushes where the bristles are close together and actually trap a lot of water, and that would be schita. Then there's other kinds of brushes where the bristles are not so close together and are not so absorbent, especially if they're synthetic, which is less absorbent, and the bristles are a little farther apart, and they don't trap water. And that's what he said to Rav Shlomo Zalman. He says, even though we possibly... there's a schita, esedra abundant, schita by seyar. That's because seyar, even if it doesn't trap the water very, very deeply inside, it does trap water. Your hair can carry water around, and it gets bigger, and you can squeeze it out, and it gets smaller. It says, but if you have a brush that doesn't really carry water at all, it just has water on it because of surface tension. Right? I think that's something like that. There's some principle, rule of chemistry, that things, liquids and solids, stick to each other, even if there's no absorption, to a certain extent. Right? That's how these funny spiders can walk on water. If you ever seen the picture. So, there's always some drops. There's always some water that will stick to any solid, because water sticks to a solid, even against gravity. It won't fall. A little drops of water will stick to a solid. There's somehow that works scientifically. But he says, if all you have is a little water sticking to it, but it doesn't actually hold the water, because the water doesn't get trapped between the bristles and absorbed and cause it to expand. Just holds a little, and it just sticks to it a little, then that's not schita at all, that's not midraban, not midoraisa, that's not schita at all. So what the Shmir Shabbos L'Chas in the end says, it's proper to, in the end he says, it's proper to only use, let's say, a bottle brush or a Shabbos sponge or whatever you call it for washing your dishes, if the bristles are far apart and water doesn't get trapped not only doesn't water get absorbed inside each fiber, but water doesn't even get trapped between the bristles, and then that's not a chash of stita at all.
But there are no brushes that have the bristles far apart, because you have a clump of bristles that are stuck together coming from one root,
right.
And then in some brushes you have all these roots closed together, and some brushes they're farther apart. But in terms of that root, you have 10, 15 bristles coming from the same point.
But they sometimes...
But in some brushes, they still seem to diverge.
You don't have a single...
I don't know. I have the other kind of Shabbos sponge, which is like this, the web that doesn't hold anything.
Plastic steel
wool. Yeah, the plastic steel wool, which doesn't hold any water whatsoever, because it has very big holes between all the... and is unlike real steel wool, which probably sleep to Rabbanan like Sayar. But I think even those other brushes, there are some brushes that... And you have to figure out where to draw the line. But there's some brushes when the bristles, they even though they originate from the same point, they go in slightly different directions. And they don't really trap water between them. There's some brushes that don't trap water between them. So you have to be eyeing and see each type of brush if it's different. But that's, I think that's where people get this idea that there's certain bottle brushes that are, or dishwashing brushes, etc., that are okay. So Shlomo Zalman says, look, even though in general, let's say when it comes to the sugya of toothbrushes, etc., people assume that brushes are absorbent at, like, on the level of, say, or on a Rabbanan level. But if the brush doesn't really hold a lot of water between the bristles, just a little water sticks to it, then it's okay. You have to figure out exactly what the gather is. But what's his lashon? The way he says it is, if you'll excuse me, there shouldn't be very, very close together. It should be a synthetic brush where the bristles are not close together. I think synthetic just makes it less absorbent, although, of course, there's another advantage to synthetic also, which is that ain't dishel abidibili karka, so it saves you from a chash of the oraisa. This
doesn't he also bring up having the on the handle?
Yes, he brings over the footnote. That's another tzad l'hakol because you have the raivet on your side. Now, he's not makel based on that alone, but he says if it's on a handle, which a lot of these bottle brushes are, then according to the raivet, it's always much of even if it is absorbent. So that gives you another tzad l'hakol. This comes up to the issue which we're not really going to properly get into now, but of brushing your teeth on Shabbos. As we know, this is a very, very controversial issue, brushing your teeth on Shabbos with many, many different deos. The Rav Moshe finds in his Atshuva where he says it's usher to brush your teeth on Shabbos.
Wet brush, no?
What?
Doesn't it say only if it's wet?
Yeah. Okay, in a chanami. Meaning it, but at a certain point, it doesn't really help to brush your teeth. I guess dry brush,
dry.
If it doesn't bleed. Okay, he says at least with a wet brush is usher. The Rav was matter brushing teeth on Shabbos. Rav Vadya is also matter brushing teeth on Shabbos. The Sridei Eish was also matter brushing teeth on Shabbos. Although he didn't say necessarily he was dealing with toothpaste. I think he might have been talking about without toothpaste, but at least with a wet brush. If you want some of the footnotes, Rav Vadya is Yabia Omer Chelak Dalid or Rechaim Siman Lamed. The Rav I think is in Rav Shechter's Nefesh Harav, page 168. The Sridei Eish is in at least in the computer. It's in Chelak Aleph Siman Lamed. Although some people say it's in Chelak Beis Siman Chaf Ches. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is in the Sridei Eish there, as the Sridei Eish wrote it, and he sent the Sridei Eish some comments, which were published in the Sridei Eish. So there seem to be five different halachic issues involved in brushing your teeth.
Was the Rav matter even with toothpaste?
I think he was.
Yeah.
I think he was matter even with toothpaste, and so is Rav Avadi Yosef, even with toothpaste.
Ravadi seems to have like a looser type of toothpaste, though. You know, since it's loose, it's racha.
Well, toothpaste is not exactly a solid.
Not exactly a liquid either.
I know. That's a looser kind of toothpaste. I mean, a toothpaste is not putty. Toothpaste is not ice.
It's voted lila ava as opposed to lila racha, meaning if I was saying that it's closer to
okay. I don't know. You can ask him, I guess, but I think he meant even our toothpaste. Lemaisa, just to briefly give a little presentation of the again, we can't really go into it now, although maybe we should. Toothpaste, there are five halachic issues, to the best of my knowledge, involved in brushing your teeth. If you use toothpaste, then you get the halachic issue of memachik, because you're smoothing the toothpaste onto your teeth, and of molid, nolad, whatever you want to call it, as we learned, you're turning the solid into a liquid. Toothpaste is a solid, you're turning it into a liquid. If you are using just a wet toothpaste, a wet toothbrush, then even without toothpaste, you have the halachic issue of schita, of the toothbrush. And even in a dry toothbrush, you have two halachic issues, which is chovel, right? You might cause your gums to bleed.
It seems like at one point everyone's gums bled when they brush their teeth, because the post didn't discuss this great length. I think nowadays we're just healthier. Not everyone's gums bleed when they brush their teeth. And sort of ovde dechol, both of which can be avoided. So just without getting into the details, how about, without getting into the details, but what are these various halachic issues? If you use toothpaste, then number one, you have the issue, is that called molid, if you're turning a solid into a liquid? And even more seriously, then amlocha v'machik, because you are smoothing the toothpaste onto your teeth. So Rav Moshe said, with toothpaste, it's for sure usher, it's machik, davar pashut. That seems to be a very common minhag, a very common belief. A lot of Sfarim quote this for emotion, it's a problem of v'machik. Rav Avadya says it's not a problem of mamachik. That's not mamachik. Mamachik is not if you spread something on and then it comes right off. It's only if you leave it there. He says not mamachik. He also goes into why he thinks it's not a problem of molid, of changing the phase of something. So the Rav, obviously, although I don't know if Rav Shefter wrote down the logic, also thinks it's not a problem. But many of the Sfarim write, a lot of the modern Sefer Halacha assume, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, that with toothpaste it's for sure mamachik. Some also add molid, it's a problem. Although, the Rav and Rav Avad Yosef are not worried about that. And you can ayin sham Rav Avad Yosef to see all the reasons he's not. If you use a wet toothbrush without water, or you use that, as a lot of Israelis do, they use that liquid toothpaste, so that way you don't have a problem with machik, and you don't have a problem with molid, because it's a liquid toothpaste. You've seen the liquid toothpaste in Israel? I think like a lot of people use it for Shabbos, although I'm sure a lot of people use it during the week also.
Yeah.
What?
Not in America also.
Okay, great. so there, it's a little trickier. Then the issue becomes one of schita. And Rav Moshe says, it's better not to, because he's worried about schita. He doesn't explain fully why, what the dude studied are. Obviously, he was specific about it. Rav Moshe worried about schita there. This radiation that Shuvai mentioned said, for sure, it's no problem with schita. Or Avad Yosef and the Rav also holds no problem with schita. The Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in his letter to this radiation, said, I also think it's mutter. I can't really figure out why it's usser. But it's like, Dvarim ha-mutarim b'achirim na'agu b'hem iser. I don't know why it's usher, but everyone's knowing not to brush their teeth on Shabbos, even with liquid toothpaste, even with a wet toothbrush. And he says, and some people think this is a very bad usher. They take it very seriously. So Shlomo Zalman seems to say that Shlomo Zalman seems to conclude that, like, it's the minhag not to use a wet toothbrush on Shabbos. So just in terms of the sort of shitas here, here we have of Moshe, and I think, Yabia Omer and the Rav. Here we have, for Skita, Rav Moshe says better not to. He's not 100% sure. The Sri De'esh, and obviously the Rav, and obviously the Yabia Omer say it's okay, not Shasha Shita. Shlomo Zalman Orbach says Mirav. The Mirav is not to. And that is what the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa quotes from. The Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa's lashon is that we're no heg not. That's in Perek Yudalad Halacha Lamedalad. We're no heg not to use a wet toothbrush. We're no heg not to use a wet toothbrush on Shabbos. This is not so clear. I think different people are knowing different things. But a lot of people seem to not be worried about. And even Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't really think it was such a problem. But there,
There are some people who are no haig, I mean, to use a wet toothbrush or with liquid toothpaste. Some people who are no haig, not to. Right. Oh, it's on the board.
In terms of wetting your mouth and then putting the brush in, so you're not wetting the brush directly. I know some people discuss it. What do you feel about that?
So that should be okay, Luchara. Yeah, you'd think. Anyway, even this, you know, different people say different things. I don't think there's a clear psak. There's a clear psak. Now, of course, even besides that, there are two other issues which would apply to even a dry toothbrush. Number one is hotzaz dam. It's also to do anything which will for sure make you bleed. Okay, but that's so if brushing your teeth causes you for sure to bleed, then it's usser. If it only causes you to maybe bleed or not at all, then it's mutter. So that's only a halachic issue for people who suffer from, probably only people who suffer from gum disease or some gum condition, I don't know, or who don't have strong gums. And the Uvda Dechol, this is a big issue which we can't get into. You can look, the Gemara is in Daf Kuflim Zayin, Shulchan Aruch at the end of Simon Shin Chav Zayin, Sif Gimel, says that you're not allowed to scrape with a comb on Shabbos to the Uvda Dechol, but if you have a special comb, you're allowed to. So the question is exactly how far do we extend that? And they were talking about a very specific action. So some poskim assume that extends to anything that has, looks like a brush or a comb is an issur of Uvda Dechol, unless you have a special one for Shabbos. So that's why some people say you need a special toothbrush for Shabbos. I think many poskim assume no, that was only talking about one specific practice, combing, which they used to do for various health reasons in the time of Chazal, which was a non-Shabbosic activity. But anyway, so that's why some people say you need a special Shabbos toothbrush.
Why does that make it not Uvda Dechol? Meaning, it's not the toothbrush.
The Gemara says this.
I know, but like conceptually, it doesn't seem to make so much sense. That it's the same pupula, it's the same action. It's just, you know.
I guess you remember that it's different from chol. It's a psychological reminder that it's different from chol. I don't know, but that's in the Gemara. The Gemara says that. I forget who it was. I think it was someone in one of the Amram's family made a special gold one for Shabbos or something, if I recall correctly. Okay. So this is, of course, this is another very big issue, which I didn't mention here, which is, if you can brush your teeth on Shabbos, what can you do with a toothbrush afterwards? Number one, Rav Moshe seems to be worried about that washing it afterwards is a chana for chol. Rav Avadya also asked washing it afterwards, although I've seen Rav Ben Sion Avashol quoted as being matter, saying that's not a chana for chol, because it's just a normal thing you do after you brush your teeth.
Doesn't seem
fashion. Right, which it seems to be the minhag that anything, I think we usually assume, anything which is no tircham, which is a normal part of your routine, we don't consider a chana l'chol. I think, so I'm not sure why Moshe is worried about it. Rav Avadya brings up another point. Maybe it's a libun to wash it out afterwards. If you assume there's libun in toothbrushes, then you're cleaning it. When you brush your teeth, you're dirtying it. But when you wash it afterwards, you taka are cleaning it. So that's another halachic issue which comes into play in brushing teeth on Shabbos. The Hachana, yeah, I'm surprised by that, Rav Moshe, but maybe he did not. Maybe he held the broader definition of Hachana.
Just from the sun, that anything that's part of normal usage.
All right, so Tzarechian.
Don't we need to cover up for your
home? There are people who do bring up, like people that feel tzar and don't feel comfortable without it. Especially among the Mekilim. Kavod HaBrios is going a little far, because again, Kavod HaBrios means there's no other way around it. There are other ways to have fresh-smelling breath besides brushing your teeth. For example, you could gargle with mouthwash, or you could eat things that give you good smell in your breath. I'm not sure what they are, but, you know, not onions and garlic, probably, like if you drink orange juice or eat fruits or things like that, maybe you'll have, I don't know, I'm not a bucky in this, chew mint, right? So mastama.
Oranges clean that.
Okay, good. So there are other ways to clean out your mouth to have covered up brios. The question is, they say, look, if people they just don't feel good without brushing their teeth, which is one of the issues the post can bring up. Again, there's a big issue ayin shum in some of these makoros that I mentioned. The next issue we want to discuss, and this is the real controversial one, I think, is the baby wipes. Mm-hmm. I found, by the way, I'm sorry I didn't put this on the makoros, that the much better discussion of baby wipes than the one from the Rabbi Ribiad and the Makoros, I found in Rabbi Simcha Bunim Cohen's book,
really?
Children in Halacha, not in one of the Shabbos books. Right, it wasn't in any of the Shabbos books, but in the, you know, he has like the Shabbos home, Shabbos kitchen, the readings of Shabbos, etc. Very nice. I mean, he's the Lumbus, I think, is very good, and the analysis is very nice in those books. I think they're very good books. But this was not in the Shabbos books. It was in the Children and Halacha book. He has a wonderful discussion of it. If you want to look at it, it is chapter 16, footnote 12 and 13, where he brings down a lot of poskim about the issue of baby wipes on Shabbos. Now, there are a number of different issues that come up here that are sort of grounds for kula. There are a number of different grounds for kula. So let's see. As a matter of fact, I think there are three halachic issues that come up here when it comes to the question of baby wipes. excuse me. Sorry. So what are the different shitas? So the Minchas Yitzchak, the Children of Halacha book quotes a number of poskim who asser baby wipes. He quotes the Minchas Yitzchak and Rabbi Cheskel Roth, and he quotes a few other poskim there, if you look, who are maybe a little less famous, who asser baby wipes. The 39 Halacha book also comes out assering baby wipes. Children, Halacha book, paskins to asser baby wipes in the end. The Shemir Shabbos Chassid doesn't deal with it explicitly. There are also some psukim in similar things. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, quoted in the Shemir Shabbos, says you're not allowed to like put alcohol on a cotton swab to clean some, like if you need a shot on Shabbos or something, which is somewhat similar to the baby wipes. Right? It's always hard to tell, but in that similar case, he assers. In the case of, and these, some people seem to take this differently, in the case of, you know how, I think on El Al, like when you wake up, they give you these moist towelettes, whatever, or, you know, I was at a restaurant this week, which I guess was a nice restaurant because they gave it to you at the end of the meal also. To, so those, now they're not exactly the same as baby wipes. What? Yeah, so the a lot of poskim are matched to that also. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa Perik Yudal at Halacha Lamed Gimel Kofel Shalmos Alman Orbach was matched to that, and the Har Tzvi in Shet Har Tzvi with Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Chelik Aleph Sim Kof Tzadi is also matched, and Yecheskel Roth is quoted as matching that by Children in Halacha in one of the journals. So a lot of people are matched like wiping yourself with a wet towel or a wet towelette. Or a moist towelette. But it's not clear to me that's exactly the same word as the baby wipes. Right, so it's right. So it's obviously not the exact same word as the baby wipes. And I think one of the differences might be that the assumption is that, well, let's get back to it in a second. We'll see if we can figure out the difference. Anyway, let's go back to baby wipes. The Minchas Yitzchak, I pointed out, Aser, Yecheskel Roth, the Children of Halacha, a few other post-Gemi quotes there, the Lamites Malachos, a lot of people Aser. So who are the Matirim? And what are the grounds to be moderate? So there are three Lachora issues which could be grounds for Hector. One is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is quoted in Pias Shmua. There's no marker for this in print of Rav Moshe. But the 39 Malachas book quotes Rav Moshe as saying that there's no water absorbed in the baby wipes. It's only on the wipes. It's not inside the wipes, it's just on the surface. Water on the surface is not a problem of shechita. Now, I find that very, very difficult to understand. That, what is it? There's no water in the baby wipes. There seems to be water in the baby wipes. They seem to be fibrous and absorbent. I mean, you look at them, they seem fibrous. And all the water is just on the surface. I find that very hard to... I find that very hard to fathom exactly what Rav Moshe might have meant by that, especially since he does have a tune about something similar. In the Igros Moshe or Chaim Chelak Beis Siman Ayin, he's a tshuva about wiping with a wet paper towel. And over there he says, with the wet paper towel, in the end he's matur. But not for the reason that it's not absorbed. He says, yeah, it doesn't really get absorbed inside. It's just like Seir, which only seated the Rabbanim. So Rav Moshe doesn't seem to think that, I mean, again, maybe it's a different case, but I think he doesn't necessarily seem to think that this is, maybe someone misunderstood him, that there's no water in the baby wipes, just on the surface, not slita. Maybe what he meant is it doesn't really penetrate in well, and it's only slita through abundance, it's not totally totally suffused. And even that, I'm not sure about the baby wipes. But I find it hard to believe that where Moshe really said the water is on the baby wipes, not in the baby wipes, and they're not a bar shechita. Okay, so that's a good point. So let's come back to that in a second. Okay, so that's one side of the Hakel, which is Ramosha, that he basically says they're not absorbent. And what does he mean? He means they're so not absorbent, they're even less than Seir? And it's a heter gomer? Seems hard to imagine that he said that. I don't know. I don't know exactly who passed on this Masorah. Now, another side, which they...
because of Shechit Baseir, anything that is somewhat absorbent is going to be also the Rabbanan?
L'chora.
Maybe it's just a Din Baseir. Okay. We didn't understand that anyway.
Yeah, but so Ramosha doesn't assume that in the Igros Moshe.
But in general, once we say Shechit Baseir is so weird, so why wouldn't we just say, okay...
Okay, because Ramosha himself doesn't hold that. Because in Bein's High, and he says it's not absorbent, these kinds of paper towels he had, which are obviously not the bounty. And therefore, it's like Seir. So...
That's true.
So, and he actually says there it doesn't go in, it's just on the surface, so it's like Seir. So I don't know exactly what he meant, but it's hard for me to imagine. Now, another side that people want to bring the Hakel, which makes it much more complicated, is do you want the water that comes out or not? Right? This is a very tricky thing. Is this Shechita because you want the water to come out of the baby wipe? In which case, it's like classic Mefarik? Or is this like Holech Le'ibud and, you know, maybe Segresh Lo Nichole, and you don't really want the water to come out of the baby wipe? So this is this is a little tricky, you know, because Rav Moshe in print, this is the Igros Moshe or Chaim Chelik Beis Sinan Ayin. He's not dealing with baby wipes, with a paper towel, and he wants to be Mitzar Fakula based on Segreshin Nichole and Holech Le'ibod and only Shechita Baseir Drabanan. So he wants to be a tzara fakula. They're basically like, you don't want any water to come out. Now it's unclear sort of what he... do you want the water to come out or don't you? It's unclear exactly what he's trying to say there, that you don't want the water to come out. Rav Moshe, when he's talking about paper towels, says you don't want the water to come out. The children Allah of Simcha Ben Cohen is like unclear exactly what he meant. He said, yes, his son said, no, he just meant like you're picking up some crumbs and you're not really washing it. Then you don't want the water to come out. Seems a little strange. Like, I don't know, do you want the water? I never figured out how to conceptualize when you wash with a wet something. Do you want the water to come out and wash something? Like when you clean a baby with a wipe, you want the water to come out on the baby and clean him? Or no, you just want the thing to be moist so it'll stick to dirt.
What's the case in the Mishnah? Prohibits with the sponge. Cleaning your table with the wet sponge.
Well, that's because you can...
According to Rashi and Rabbis, because when you squeeze it with your fingers, it comes out.
But then definitely hold up the Ibud.
Right, so why should this be any better than
the... The only reason why it should be us or be no right is because...
Saying this is like a sponge...
Who says it comes out here at all?
What? Okay, let's come back to that in a second. You mean, why? Because it's never absorbed in?
No, it's absorbed in.
Okay, so let's come back to that in a second. This is actually a big... This is an interesting question. When it comes to the cotton swabs, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, of course you want it to come out. That's with the alcohol and the cotton. He says, of course you want it to come out, because you want the alcohol to clean the wound. Right. And the Tzitz Eliezer, in the same case, says you don't. Says you don't. Why? He says because the alcohol that's on the surface would be enough to clean the wound. Anything else that comes out is just unnecessary. So it could be that's also tzad l'hakel here. Maybe that's sort of you could bring Ramosha. There's enough water and liquid on the surface of the wipe to do the cleaning. All the liquid inside is just to make sure there's liquid on the surface, because otherwise the liquid on the surface would go inside. So the inside gets saturated just to keep liquid on the surface. But you don't need the liquid from inside to clean your baby. That's just an unnecessary side effect. That's Holech Le'ibudim Segresha. So it's extra that could be a tzad lahakil here. The heart speaker is a little unclear about this. He quotes the Yecheskel Roth. Children Halacha quotes Yecheskel Roth. In the case of wipes, it's saying we do want it to come out. So this is a little unclear, because if you were willing to say you didn't want it to come out, then it's already speak of the Segresha Lo Nichalei. Segreshed lo nichale, you know, and it's holech le'ibud. So then, depending on, especially if your wipes are synthetic, so segreshed lo nichale of not gidule karka, I don't know, do they put gidule karka in them? This is a big discussion. in the, maybe some of you saw this long egg like towel. When we say in disha ala bigdulei karka, does that mean the carrier has to be gedulei karka? Does that mean what's inside has to be gedulei karka? You know, does that mean they both have to be gedulei karka? Of course, the Ramban means no, do they both have to be gedulei karka? They have to have been gadol biyachad. So it's a little unclear, but it's efshar that you could maybe find room to be mako, but this is very unclear. It's very hard to figure out whether you do or don't want this water to come out, especially given the fact that a lot of these have scent or have aloe vera, all kinds of things that, again, I guess maybe you could say only what's on the surface you need for your baby. It's very hard to conceptualize, but it's sort of a hard ground to be making on these grounds, because A, it's very hard to tell whether your mom is doing like a chashash mafarik to oraisa, you want the water to come out and clean your baby, or whether you're not. It's at most a holech le'ibud and segregation le'nichle, which is much more to the Aruch and Rov Rishonim. And even if it is much more to the Aruch and Rov Rishonim, we are machmer and Mr. Quiet in his eyes. You need other tzad in lahakel. So this is a very tricky issue. The issue which more poskim do seem to accept from what I've seen as a kula, yeah.
Why is
No, if you want to go out, it's not holech, but the people who say you don't want it to come out might call it like holech le'ibud, because where's it going? It's going in the garbage.
But you don't want to pop, but once it comes out, like, you're still using it for your baby.
Right, so that's the whole question. Can you call that holech le'ibud or not? Pashtus not. Right. Now, the last thing that was discussed is what Shmuel brought up, is who says anything really comes out of the wipe? Now, this is a little tricky. What do you mean who says anything comes out of the wipe? You wipe your baby and you look, and there's like a little shine of the liquid, whatever you call it on it. Right? So, for sure something comes out, but here I think is a point that what's considered coming out? What's really considered coming out? The Shulchan Aruch book quotes from the Shut Nishma Shabbos. Does anyone recognize that? And from Rav Scheinberg, Mipia Shmuel, that he asked him personally, who we do recognize, who said that it only is considered coming out. It's only schita, as Shmuel said. It's only schita if it's in and it comes out. So let's assume it's in. There's only schita if it comes out. Coming out means it has to really come out a cheftza of water. It has to really be a cheftza of water coming out. It can't just be like a little moisture on someone's skin. Because even though scientifically they'll say it came out, maybe it had its effect, etc. But again, schita means you have to get one type of cheftza for another type of cheftza. So it has to be a real cheftza of water. We know halachically, generally, how do we define when there's a cheftza of water in a spill and when there isn't? And we know halachically, how we define whether there's water there? Tofeach amenas latfiach. Right? So that's what they say. That if it isn't tofeach amenas latfiach, then water hasn't really come out. What does that mean? Tofeach amenas latfiach? It's wet enough that it would make you wet. Meaning that if I wipe my baby, and then if I touched it, my finger would look wet. That's the tofeach amenas latfiach. But if the baby's bottom looks wet, but if I touch it with my finger feels the wetness, but I pull my finger away and my finger does not look wet, then
your finger's always going to be wet because the baby doesn't absorb the liquid, so the liquid's just going to stay there. So if liquid comes out, meaning if I'm wiping on
the
towel...
No, I don't mean scientifically it's going to have molecules or whatever.
A towel absorbs the water, so therefore
if it's so little, then what comes off on my finger will not be enough to make it seem wet.
What do you mean seem wet? You feel moisture on your hands. You feel that your hands are wetter than they were before.
You don't see water on your hands. Or you do. I don't know. Depends how much.
You have to be able to see the water.
Yeah. So what they assume is that if a kolshu level of moisture comes out, but it's not an actual be'en of water, it's not tefeach amenas latfiach, then that's not considered schita, because it's not considered as if anything comes out. And that's why the Children Halacha book Paskins, this is also Rav Cohen of Children Halacha book Paskins this way, he paskins that if you... excuse me. That if you squeeze it out before Shabbos and you make it very dry, so it's only the tiniest bit moist, and then, so it's only a little moist, whatever moisture will come out onto your baby will only be a tiny bit of moisture, then that's not considered schita. So he says you should squeeze it out before Shabbos. All right, we did an experiment the other day. Even the cheap ones are still very, very moist if you don't squeeze them out, right? So if you squeeze them out before Shabbos, then, what? Obviously, scientifically, molecules will come out. on your baby, and you'll notice the gloss. But it won't be a be'en that comes out, and it will be mutter. That's what children halacha paskins. And I think if I recall correctly, Rabbi Willig didn't like any of these kulas. He thought it was also a gamre, but I think a very common minhag in the olam is like the children halacha book. Is that's a very common minhag olam that if it's very moist, it's usher. But if it's very dry, it's mutter, because even though we all know something will come out, and you might even be happy that it comes out, it might accomplish something, it's not halachically considered something coming out, because it doesn't really exist. Now, I just want to point out two things about this. Number one, Rabbi Ribiak doesn't bring up this factor. He only brings up this Rav Moshe factor that it's never absorbed in the first place. So Rabbi Ribiat says the opposite of what the Oilam says. The Oilam assumes the heter is because what comes out is not significant enough to be schita. So the drier, the better. Rabbi Ribiat assumes that if there's any heter, it's that you're not taking anything out in the first place. So he says the wetter, the better, because a very wet one, you won't even need to squeeze anything out because you'll just use the liquid on the surface. Meaning Rav Moshe's heter is the water's on the surface. And he says, Adrabah, the wetter it is, the more water on the surface. It's the dry ones that the water's inside. The wet ones have water on the surface. So Rabbi Ribiat assumes the wetter is the more makel. And even so, he doesn't like to be makel. That's the Olam assumes that the best kula is the opposite. Not that the water's on the surface, that the water's inside, but it doesn't come out of the chefs of water. And therefore, the drier, the better. And again, I think I heard from Rabbi Willig that he preferred not using it at all. But the Minhag Olam, I think, among many people, seems to be, like the children Halacha book quotes from these poskim, that it's okay if it's dry enough that a significant amount doesn't come out. And I think also you could bring one raya and one sort of questionable raya to this. When Rav Shlomo Zalman is matur, you use those moist towelettes on your hand and face. And the Har Tzvi and the Cheskel Roth are matur to you wipe with a damp towel. Why aren't they worried? So I think the reason is because there, you're not really squeezing hard to clean off, you know, whatever it is that we know when we change our babies. When you change your babies, you really squeeze it hard. When you wipe yourself with a moist towelette, you don't want to squeeze it hard. You just want to get a little refreshing. Meaning, you get a little, no, it's just a drop of liquid, and that's not really considered schita, because you don't get mamushes of liquid on you. Everyone knows, if you would wipe with that moist towelette, you don't want a mamushes of liquid on you. You just want the feeling of the freshness, and maybe one or two microscopic drops will get on you. But you don't have a mamushes of liquid on you. So I think that's why, I mean, even the Shmir Shabbos Kofasa, who, you know, I don't know what he says about baby wipes. I never heard that he was matter baby wipes. I would have heard, probably. Someone would have told me if he was matter baby wipes. He's matter these moist towelettes, and I think the reason is, because that's like the dry baby wipes. You don't really get, number one, they're drier. And number two, you don't press them, so you don't really get a lot of That's what he says, Einam neschatim in amam kata, because you don't squeeze anything out. Oh, someone will tell me, you get out, obviously you have to get out molecules, this and that. No, that doesn't really count. You're not squeezing anything out. So I think this could also, by the way, be the svara of Rashi and the Rambam by the Sfog. Rashi and the Rambam says if it has a handle, then when you wipe, it doesn't squeeze. The Rambam says it always squeezes. What if Rashi and the Rambam don't admit there'll always be a few molecules of water that come out? Maybe Rashi would say, if you have a sponge on a handle and you lightly wipe, what comes out will not be a cheftz of water. It won't be a real be'en of water. So now, that's a double-edged sword to them. What would the Ravid say? But at least from Rashi and the Rambam, you might find a mucker for this. This seems to be a very popular shita amongst the poskim, and this seems to be a very common minug in the olam. Again, I still stand very, very steadfast in my position that I am 100% right, that it is perfectly fine and convenient and easy to not use wipes on Shabbos, and you can have a perfectly normal lifestyle without using wipes on Shabbos. But I think the more popular minhag olam is to be makel and to use the dry wipes on Shabbos, even though I think everyone has to be molded that it's possible to live without wipes on Shabbos, just like our ancestors lived without wipes 7 days a week 20 years ago. But halacha l'maisa, I think most poskim are matir the drier wipes on Shabbos, which again, even the cheap wipes are wet, unless your mom has dried them out. I think people squeeze them out before Shabbos, then make sure they're very dry, which is a logic. If you squeeze them out and no more liquid comes out, then all the liquid that can come out already came out. It'll still be a few drops, a few molecules, that doesn't count. Okay, that's, I think, all we have to say about schita. There are two other issues that came up here. One of which belongs, one of which doesn't. that we have to discuss before we begin Borer. Firstly, at the end of Siman Shin Chaf, you know, just for the sake of leaving the Siman, I'm not claiming this has anything to do with Dash, but there's two Se'ifim about Soveya. So let's just briefly look through them without getting into them very deeply. Yes?
When there's a spill on the table, is it going to put a napkin down?
When there's a spill on the table and you absorb it with a napkin, so there's no schita there, right? Yeah. Now, even though we learned you're not allowed to get a cloth wet as a gzera lest you forget yourself and come to squeeze it, but that's only things which the derech to squeeze to your makrid shouldn't be wet, things which go in the garbage. Avada that wouldn't apply to. So now the only interesting question was, if you get the napkin wet enough, how do you pick it up? Says, what if you put the bounty down and it gets totally wet? How do you pick it up? So I was trying to think of the heter, but it's mamish spoke shein bo beisachiz. As soon as you pick it up, you're going to be soaking it. So I think Yaakov Min says, no, you should scoop it up from the bottom. Maybe that's the answer. Or you should, you know, leave one corner of it dry so you can carry it into the garbage. With napkins in general, you know, only with bounties they get all wet. Napkins, you always have a little dry piece because they're not moshech the water throughout the way a bounty is.
Wait, but you can't put a towel down on
this one? A towel? Well, first, most spills, there's two heterim. Did we discuss this? All right, well, yeah, right. This really belongs more in Liban than in Dash because squeezing out towels is a Liban issue. But there's two heterim for towels. The Gemara says for sure that it's mutter to dryer for the towel on Shabbos. So there's an achlokas in the poskim. There are two shitas in the Rishonim and Achronim why we're not worried about towels. And they point out there are two true kulas. They just argue about exactly which applies when. One is called if it's not mayim merubin, if it's only a little water. Meaning, if you get your towel normally wet with a little water, no one would ever wring it out. You only wring something out when it's soaked. You don't wring something out when it's a little wet. So you're for sure allowed to wipe up a spill with a towel if it's not soaked. Meaning, most of our spills, you can wipe them up with a towel and it's not soaked. So that's for sure. Mayim mu'atim is for sure mutter. That's why I think the Mishnah Berurah prefer is why you're allowed to dry for your body with a towel on Shabbos. After you, let's say, go to the mikvah, because you wouldn't bathe stam, or if your stam get wet. Because if we have our big bath towels and you dry for your whole body, it's not soaking wet. It still has plenty of towel left. So no one would ever wring that out. But on the other hand, if your kids made a flood in the bathroom, there's water all over, and you put the towel down, that would get soaking wet in a way that people would wring out. So then there's another question, which is, that we saw, you can't put your clothing on the barrel, because that's something you're mocked, but it shouldn't be wet. But if it's a special cloth to cover the barrel, you don't mind if it gets wet. So towels is not clear in the Achronim. There seems to be some debate in the Achronim. Do you mind if towels get wet or not? So the Nafkamino would be, what if it's totally soaked? If towels are something that you're makbid al meim of, which you mind, then it would be also to get them totally soaked. There you might squeeze them. If towels are considered something you don't mind getting wet, then it should be mutter to get them totally soaked. Because you don't mind them getting wet. Maybe it depends. Maybe there's towels and towels. So the Mishnah is not exactly clear. A little unclear. I think he seems to be nota that we do mind our towels being wet, and therefore you shouldn't get them totally, totally soaked all the way through.
It might just depend on like how easily you have access to laundry.
Right, it might depend how many towels you have, which is an issue that people bring up. So it's not 100% clear. I'm not going to pass it offhand. I have to look it up again. Okay. Let's just look briefly at the end of Siman Shin Chaf. If Yudtes and if Yudtes tells us Litin Karko Matavshel Mutter, it's mutter to put karkom into your food, even though it gives it a strong color. Vein lachish lo mitzum tzoveya, vein tzviya ba'ochlin. You don't have to worry about tzoveya because there's no tzviya ba'ochlin. This is a very important klal that is not mefurish. Doesn't say mefurish in Shas ein tzviya ba'ochlin, but the Rishonim are medayik that this is a true klal. Not everyone agrees. Okay, but pashtus we hold. That is a true klal that ain't Svi of Oakland. It's a little clear exactly why ain't Svi of Oakland and how far you take that. The Mishnah Brewer here quotes a machlokes between the Nishmas Adam and the Prima Gadim as to how far you take it. Based on the Gemara, we probably learned once that we were in Dafayin Hay, where there's a Shita that the Isser of Shechting on Shabbos because of Soveya, because you want it to get red so it'll look fresh with the Dam. So the Nishmas Adam says, oh, we see from here there is Tzviya Ba'ochlin, because it's Tzoveya. It's considered Tzoveya to get your chicken or cow red. So the Mishnah Berurah actually points out, it says, we could just answer that's talking about the leather, which is not edible. It's the leather that gets wet, that gets red. And there's tzviya in leather, not tzviya in Oakland. But the Achorim don't think of this answer, tell the Mishnah Berurah. The Achorim assume, no. On the one hand, there's ain't tzviya but Oakland. On the other hand, there is an Isser D'oraisa of tzviya. If you want to make your chicken all look red so that the butcher wants to make the chicken red so people will see it's fresh and buy it. Again, a different reality. So they all make limits. The Nishmas Adam is more machber shita. He says, you know what? Ein tzviya ba'ochla means there's no such tzviya ba'ochla if you're just making a recipe and you don't care about the color. But if you care about the color, there's tzviya ba'ochla. He just thinks the heter is, it's not called the derech of tzviya to make recipes with different color items. But if your intention is to give your food a coloring, like food coloring would be usr. So the Nishmas Adam is a machber shita, food coloring is usr. Any purposeful coloring of food is usr. It's only incidental coloring that's mutter. Ein tzviya ba'ochlin, because it's not considered tzviya, because that's not tzviya if you're just making a recipe. But if you want the color, that's tzviya. The Prima Gadim is more mako. He says, ein tzviya ba'ochlin, even if you want the color, you're even allowed to put food coloring. Ein tzviya ba'ochlin, legamrei. But that's only if the color is to make it more edible and you're going to eat it soon. That's only if all you're planning to do is eat it. Then ain't tzviya ba'ochlin, if all you're going to do is eat it. But in the case of the Gemara, where the color was so the customers will buy it, so the color wasn't for the purpose of eating, and the color wasn't very temporary, then he'd say, yesh tzviya ba'ochlin. So even the Prima Gadim is in line. Again, the Nishmas Adam, which is just the footnotes of Chayy Adam, says, yesh tzviya ba'ochlin if you want the color, ain't tzviya ba'ochlin if it's incidental. Prima Gadim says, ain't tzviya ba'ochlin even if you want the color, as long as it's just for eating. But if it's for commercial purposes, if it's for selling, to attract someone's attention, to sell it, then he says, yesh tzviya ba'ochlin. And he says, for sure, if something is edible, but you're using it for a non-food purpose, like let's say you want to make colors of bottles of colored water for decoration, or you want to like paint the spaghetti and make an arts and crafts project, that's for sure asr l'kulei alma, because that's not even called ochlin if you're not planning to eat it. So l'maisa, if you are planning to eat it though, the Mishnah Berurah has a tzad, he wanted to say maybe ain't tzviya ba'ochlin at all, and the Gemara was only talking about leather, but the Prima Gadim is machmer at least if you wanted to be colored for a long time so people buy it, and not just to eat it and have it pretty when you eat it. And the Nishmas Adam is machmer anytime you care about the color. The poskim seem to be machmer like the Nishmas Adam, that all else being equal, that anytime you care about the color, the poskim seem to, the modern day books seem to be machmer, that we take the most restrictive view. Ein tzviya ba'ochlin just means there's no sort of accidental, incidental tzviya by Oakland, but purposeful tzviya is usher even by Oakland. That's what the posters seem to assume. So therefore, you shouldn't put food coloring on Shabbos into your food just to give it a certain color. I think that's what the modern-day posts can assume. The Mishnah Berurah quotes both deus, but that's what they tend to be machmer on this.
It's only if you just want to give it the color, but not if it tastes better.
Right. If it's for taste and color, then for sure it's okay. But if it's just for color, this is a big issue. There are some people who are on Pesach Seder. There's a chumrah to have red wine. There's a chumrah to have good wine. So what if the white wine is better? So the postman generally also say use the better white wine, although they're mostly different things. Why not just use the white wine and pour in a little red to make it reddish? So that's a big issue. So I saw one of the books, one of the modern day sperm says, no, you shouldn't do that. Because according to the Nishmas Adam, that's a problem with Tzoveya, because you just want the color. And you don't at all want the taste, you just want the color. So maybe you shouldn't do that.
That ain't
Sviya Ba'ochlin, but there is Sviya Ba'Mashkin. Right. So in general, we paskin by Mashkin also, there would be ain't Sviya. But the question would be, if you just wanted the color, meaning Meikar did, you know, Rove Poskim assume, let's say you wanted to make tea. Right? Let's say on Yontif, so forget about all the other issues. Right? So that it turns the clear into brown. So most Poskim, not everyone assume that's okay. Right. Because of the Pasi, I'll tell you, Yayin Ki is Adam, which, you know, maybe you think you can be Yotze.
The discussion also of Biscuit Jew is about making petel, and in some sense he's supposed to disturb
it. So that's why some people are, that's why I say, there are some Poskim or Machmir on that On Tefillah Ba'ochel and Legamre, in which case even the petal shouldn't make it. But if you put the petal first and then the water, they're makel. So, but I don't think that's a majority, because then you're not considered to be Tovea the water, you're considered to be diluting the petal. Now, we wouldn't use that kula for Mamish Tovea, but the Tseir of Tefillah Ba'ochel. But I think the more common Shita, though, is... I don't know if he has Tovea here, is to assume coloring. I think the more common shita, even though there's a shita that's machmer on Tzviya Ba'ochlin Legamre, I think the more common shita is to assume that we assume Ein Tzviya Ba'ochlin, and we don't worry about making petal. That's what he says, that most poskim are makel even in mashkim. Yeah, he brings world poskim or mikol amashkin, but that's a shita yach. We'll see it in Siman Shin Yud Ches. There, it's most poskim or mikol even amashkin, so you can make petal and coffee and tea.
Shita wasn't exclusively color.
No, but the blood that went on the neck of the animal was only there for color, obviously not for taste, because you'd have to salt it out before you ate it anyway.
But you weren't sending the blood there.
Sure. No, that's machlokas. We hold that's not the kavan of the shochet. It's machlokas Rav Shmuel. I think that there's a shita that the kavan of the shochet when he shechts, he thinks, number one, I want the animal dead and kosher, but I also want the blood to drip over there so the customers will see that it's fresh and buy it.
The advice that he was doing was
you can have two kavanas in mind.
Right, but like, let's see, like you said that with
the food. Sometimes you have tongue, that's sufficient.
And taste, then you're
allowed to that's... Okay, I mean, maybe we shouldn't have to look exactly in the Lashon of Veris Poskim. I haven't actually looked at this. Is that it's solely for its flavor, it's mutter, but it's... so he wants to say that maybe if you have two kavanas, it's usser. I might not have spoken so carefully. If you mamish have two kavanas, it might be usser. But if your main kavanas for the flavor, but you also like the color, I think we'd assume that's mutter. That's it's funny to draw the line. But I think... Right. Okay, in Echnam, it could be, if your kavan is for color, then the Nishpah would be machber, even if your kavan is also for flavor, maybe. Okay, let's just briefly look at Sifchaf. Yesh misha omer, she'ochal tutum or sharpeiros hatsovim, that if you eat berries or other fruits that stain and cause coloring, you have to make sure that when your hands are all dirty with this juice, you don't touch your clothing or the napkins, because they will be tzovea, they will be tzovea. I won't say a pito mashka appears less than about Ainsviba Oakland. Your bread is fine to get colored in the areas to Ainsviba Oakland. But you shouldn't, and your hands are also fine. Why are your hands fine? The Mishabru explains because it's only in a sort of tzoveya on things that's the derech b'tzoveya. Maybe that's why Oakland are not tzoveya. And it's not the derech b'tzoveya, your hands and face in this way. So your hands and face are fine. But napkins and clothing, which it's certainly the derech to dye, we always dye them. That's how they get to be colors. So that's the derech to dye. I mean, it's not the derech to dye them with berries. But as long as the derech to dye them with something, that's considered derech tzoveya. So it would be usher to touch the napkins and your clothing. This is a big machlokas, the Mishabur Paskins, that the Radvaz, the Achrona bring, the Radvaz and the Chacham Tzvi also, I think, argue on this Mechaber and say no. There's no Isser of Tzoveya Derech Lichluch. The Isser of Tzoveya only applies Derech of improving something. But if it's Derech Lichluch, if it's dirt, dirtying is not considered dying. Just the fact that you're making it dirty is a different gedder than coloring it. So therefore, anything you make dirty is automatically not considered dying. So that's Machlokas. The Machaber holds even Derek Mechloch is Tzoveya. We'll see soon. There's the same Machlokas by Liban. If you get something wet, Derek Mechloch is not Liban. We'll see in the Siman of Borer. But that's Machlokas. The Machaber is Machmir. The Radvaz and others are Mekel. The Mishaburis Psak is, and this is the accepted Psak, that it's better to avoid if you can. If you can avoid dyeing anything in any way, it's better to avoid. But if you need to, then we pass an ikar din as mutter. So we pass in really it's mutter to dye things b'derech lichluch. But if you can avoid it, it's better to avoid it. Just agav, I should point out that everyone agrees that disposable napkins and paper towels are for sure okay, because that's definitely a chefta, that it's not the derech to
to be tzoveya, because you're throwing it in the garbage. So that is found in Shmir Shabbos Kochasa. He points it out in Perek Yud Dalid Sif Yud Tes and Perek Lamed Hei Sif Yud Ches. And he says that's for sure not the derech to be tzoveya. So therefore, that comes up actually as a chumra. If something spills and you have a disposable napkin, then you should use it. If grape juice spills and you have a napkin and a towel, you should use the napkin, not the towel, because the napkin's not a chashat tzoveya, but the towel is better to avoid. So therefore, if all you have is a towel and the grape juice spills, so you can wipe it up. But if you have a towel and a napkin, you should use the napkin and not the towel. I think that's what the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says. Okay, this is done a little quickly, but that's basic halachas here. Now we have just a few seconds left.
Why don't you use the napkin?
Because the napkin is, it's not derech. There's no issue of tzoveya at all in an object that it's not the derech to be tzoveya. And something which you use once and throw in the garbage is considered an object that it's not the derech to be tzoveya. Therefore, anything disposable, a disposable napkin or towel, is even better than a towel, because a towel is derech lechloch. But a napkin is derech lechloch, and it's not the derech to be tzoveya a napkin, because you throw it in the garbage. So therefore, I don't know if they knew that they would somehow have disposable colored napkins, if that would change anything. But anyway, the poskim write that it's better to use a napkin and not a towel, because it's better to avoid tzviya derech lechloch. Therefore, again, if you spill water, that's okay. But if you spill grape juice, that's what Mishnah Berurah said earlier. The grape juice on the table, you try to avoid spreading it to new areas of the tablecloth, because that's tzviya derech lechloch, which is better to try to avoid, if you can conveniently avoid it. Doesn't mean you have to go to the ends of the earth, but if you can conveniently avoid it, you should avoid it. Okay, the last thing I want to mention, and we'll have to mention this very, very quickly, is the issue of milking cows. Now, lechora, the same issue applies to a human mother expressing her milk. Please do not, I know other Rosh Yeshiva here got in trouble, do not misquote me as comparing women to cows here. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is that there's similar issues when it comes to disha of expressing milk, because they have similar biological functions, but I don't mean to say anything derogatory. So, was that clear enough? Okay, there's a problem. The Gemara says on Daf Sadi Heyman Aleph that Cholev is Chayiv Mishum Mefarik, which sounds like, you know, it's a little dush. Rashi there says before it's dush. The problem is that in Daf Ayin Hey, we have Machlokes and Rehud and the Chachamim, whether there's Disha in squeezing the Tcheles out of a Chilazon, and the Chachamim say there's no Disha, because Ein Disha Ela B'Gedulei Karka. That seems to be an accepted fact. Ein Disha Ela B'Gedulei Karka. So the problem is, how could milking a cow be dosh if ain't disha el b'gedulei karka? So how could milking a cow be dosh? So the there's basically three or four shitas. Reader Tam says a very dochuk shita, which is that milking a cow, the Gemara didn't mean to say it's dosh. It's memachik. You smooth out the udder. And when they said mefarik, they didn't mean that what mefarik means everywhere else in Shasa tolod of dosh. They meant tolod of memachik. It's very dochuk, because then how come Shmuel says you can milk the cow into a kedera if it's mamachik? Okay, Ravina Tam, I don't know how he would answer that. But the last Ravina Tam has a very dochuk shita that it's not dosh, it's mamachik. There's a few shitas in there. We won't go through all the shitas, but Tosos basically assumes, and other Rishonim, many Tosos and many, the Ri, not Ravina Tam, and many other Rishonim assume, that was the man da Amar who holds Yesh Disha Shalom Gedulei Karka, like Rabbi Yehuda. That Gemara followed Rabbi Yehuda. So they assume, no. If it's Rachacham saying Disha Shalom Gedulei Karka, the one is Machayiv here for milking says Yesh Disha Shalom Gedulei Karka. And then there's a big one that looks we've shown him. If so, how do we paskin? Do we paskin like the Rove, Ein Disha Shalom Gedulei Karka? Or do we paskin like the Bryson Daf Sadi? Hey, Cholev is Disha, so it must be Disha Shalom Gedulei Karka. Then the third base, their other approach, but the third most popular approach, the Ramban and the Ritva, etc., is that animals are gedulei karka. Tosos denies this, but because in some areas of halacha, animals are clearly not considered gedulei karka, but we know Meiser Sheni money can only be used for previ gedulei karka, and you're allowed to buy an animal with Meiser Sheni money, because an animal is gedulei karka, both because it eats off the ground, also, I mean, the Gemara has this whole discussion. It's even more so because the animals in Parshas Bereishis were created from the ground. So animals might be gedulei karka. So this is a big machlokas. In the end, how do we explain? Is it that animals are gedulei karka? Or that there's a machlokas whether milking animals is disha or not? And if so, how do we paskin? So there's, okay, a lot of rayas ties into Gunech Yonech Chalav. Maybe we'll see if we can get back to it. But Bekitzer,
In the end, we paskin that milking cows is an iser d'oraisa. The Rambam says that Mefurish, the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah that are on the Makorah sheets, Magen Avraham Shin Hei Sifkatan Yud Beis, and the Mishnah Berurah Shin Hei Sifkatan Ayin Aleph, quote the Rambam, that is an iser d'oraisa to milk cows. Most Achronim seem to assume we hold cows are kedulei karka. That's why it's an iser d'oraisa to milk cows. But we for sure paskin that milking cows is an iser d'oraisa. And possibly because cows are kedulei karka. That's why you get a big question of, are you allowed to milk cows on Shabbos for Tzar Bali Chayim? We know cows are, my grandfather, Ol Shalom, liked to say what happens to a cow if you don't milk it for 24 hours, it's in utter pain. So the cow will be in utter pain if you don't milk it all Shabbos long. So when they came to Eretz Yisrael, this question really became much bigger, although it existed beforehand because they had whole Jewish dairy farms. So that's why, if it would be Drabbanan, you might be making a lot of Drabbanan for Tzar Bali Chayim, but we paskin still Raisa, so therefore, the question is, what the Shulchan Aruch says, you can be make al yidei akum, because you can do amir la'akum, to avoid Tzar Bali Chayim. Not everyone even agreed to that, but at least that's the sheet in the Shulchan Aruch we hold like. So, halacha l'maisa, what do? If the if you need to milk your cows on Shabbos, you use an akum. That's the maskan of the poskim. Again, I didn't show the details. Shmir Shabbos B'chatzah quotes the Chazan Ish, who dealt with this at great length. He didn't love the Amir Akum so much, but in the end, you know, he dealt with this at great length. He said, what if you don't have an Akum, what do you do? Or there were people who were Makvin on Avodah Ivrit in the early days, pre-state and state. What do you do if you don't have a goy to milk your cows on Shabbos? So they said you can be Makil if it's holichli ibud. Because even though you don't have the Orach on your side, you're milking on purpose. But there have been Utam and many we've shown him how Kvashim Shlok Yishof to Lagufan, if it's holichli ibud, it's not Disha. For sure not don't rice. It can't be don't rice if it's holy clean, but therefore you should milk it just onto the ground, or you should milk it into like some poison or something, so it'll be holy clean, but and that's the eitzah if you don't have a guy. Of course, it's a tremendous financial sacrifice to use that eitzah. The third eitzah they discuss in modern days, you might be able to do it al yidei grumma with modern machinery. You know, if you hook the machine up to the cow before the Shabbos clock turns it on, that's another way to make it more mako for Tzar Bali Chayim, but there's a lot more details. We won't have time to go through them now. But Amir Tashem on Monday Shir, because I'm already over time, we'll start our discussion of Borer Be'ezrat Hashem. I guess just one brief half word on the Parsha. An interesting, just our idea for a Khan, who maybe we know, our Rebbeim from Shiva, who said, the Chumashez V'yashan Nefesh Asher Suva Charan. And Rashi says that at least the Chazal's interpretation is they were Makar people to Achaz Kanfei Shechina. So yes, very interesting question. Isn't it Nafshos? Why is it only Nefesh? It would be more than one person. Says, no, if you're talking about Kirov, in Kirov you don't look at Nafshos. You don't go for the numbers and see how can I maximize the number of people I'm affecting. You have to look at each person, individual Nefesh, each person that you're working with, if you want to Makar and teach people about Yados, each person is important in themselves. You don't worry about how many other people you get. You give each person their own attention. Each person is Ola Mole, and that's the only way to succeed in Kirov, is not to go for the numbers of the masses and see how I can reach the most people at the same time, but how I can view each person as an individual and teach them what they need to know and be makar them to Tachas Kanfei Shechina. Shabbat Shalom.
Do you know if brings the Rambam or Paskim?
What?
Do you know if Rambam Paskim like the Rambam?
He brings the Rambam to Paskim.
But he says...
He's not just bringing it for intellectual purposes.
And he also
purposes.
Quotes the Tshuva Tzvah Ma'al Tzmeko.
What?
He quotes the Tshuva Tzvah Ma'al Tzmeko. Well, he thinks, Masma di leka akum shari al yidei Yisrael.
No, that's something that Hamra